quality in that case, kind of, right? Like the static force.
So I think for P, they're just asking you to name the force that's causing lowercase m to accelerate, the top block to accelerate.
Force.
So it'd be static friction.
That's all you have to put?
As far as I can see, that's all they want.
So then from that, to get acceleration, is that, for, so then for C, when it says, like, find the acceleration in terms of m and f, is that where you, like, fill in the blank for using that static force? Inequality?
Well, so the static force inequality doesn't help us at all in this problem, because what it says is that whatever the acceleration is, it's slow enough that they hang together.
Okay.
And so we know that inequality isn't saturated, doesn't become an equality. So knowing that it's less than, inequalities are way less useful than equalities. And I think there's absolutely nothing we can do with that.
Okay.
So in order to answer part C, we have to use some other sort of approach.
Is that in the, so, is, would that be in the, in like in terms of M and like big force F, is static inequality, or the static force term going to be in that equation most of the
time? It kind of can't, right? Because, yeah, it can't, because it's not an equation, so it kind of can't filter into to anything that has an equation.
Okay. Because I was thinking it could be like, so you're talking like the horizontal force, and the equal sign would have like two accelerations.
So let's draw her out. So the frictional force is pushing this forward. We've got a normal force here, and we've got a weight. And we've got the other one. And I'm going to just call this capital M, although it's equal to 3M. Just, I think it's more distinguishable. So this thing weighs something. There's a normal force here. Whatever this one is, it's pulling down. And there has to be a reaction force to the frictional force. So in the y direction for this guy, we have the normal force minus mg has to be 0. In the y direction here, we have n2 minus n1 minus capital mg has to equal 0. I don't think any of that really helps. In the horizontal direction, here we just have that f is lowercase m times the acceleration. And here we have capital F minus f is equal to capital M A.
Okay, so that's where I got it too. But then for the little f, do you even need to substitute? Like, because we kind of,
we can't substitute, right? Because it's not an equation. Do you see the answer? Okay, so for those that don't, if you just plug that guy in, you're going to get the answer.
So then how do you know when you need to, is that when they're given a static number force? Or like when,
so about the only time we use that is if they ask, you know, how fast could it accelerate and just barely avoid slipping or something like that. Or if they ask, did it slip or not? Then we can use that equation. But since it's that inequality, it's not nearly as useful as an equation. So there's a huge difference in the usefulness of this guy, which is an equation, and this guy, which is an inequality.
So there's only one answer for C.
Yeah.
There's not two.
Because they move together.
They're the same. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes sense.
More questions? Okay, so mostly last time we did the same thing as we did before. We're talking free body diagrams. So for free body diagrams, you break the object apart into pieces. And for each piece, you display and name all the forces that are acting on that object. And I guess one thing I saw with your homework is people were giving different things the same name, right? So that's a problem, right? If I call everyone Sam, it doesn't work. Then I know all of your names, but I'm not sure you'd be happy with it. So everything that is different has to have a different name. And in particular, things like normal forces, you can't just call these all N, because they're all different. Or at least two out of those three are different. Okay, so once you've given them names, then you set up a coordinate system. And the coordinate system, in some sense, doesn't matter. You can choose any coordinate system you want, but maybe some are easier than others. And I can't guarantee you what the easy way is all the time. But my preference, what I try first, is to align as many of the forces and the accelerations in the direction of a coordinate system. That means I have to resolve the ones fewer into their x and y components. And I personally like to choose the positive direction to match the acceleration that the object has. You don't have to do any of that, but I think it makes the problems easier. Then for each object and direction, you're going to set the sum of the forces equal to the mass times the acceleration. And it might be worth commenting that this equation, F equals ma, is totally different from these other equations. And in fact, in some sense, it's a wrong equation. Right? The real equation is that the net force is equal to the mass times the acceleration. So if you're thinking about your banking account, right, you might have lots of little pluses and minuses in your banking account. This is an equation that just affects the net balance, what the sum of all of those are. And same thing with this equation, F equals mg, the weight. That's really a totally different equation from F equals ma. That's a constructive equation that gives us a particular formula for a particular force. Okay, so once you've done all of that, then you're going to solve the resulting equations. And again, it's hard, you know, lots of different things can come off, but often if you simply add up the equations, things cancel out. Questions? Okay, so quiz. How many of these numbers have exactly 3 sig figs? Yeah, I'm not telling. Not telling until we get further along. So you're the only ones voting so far. Now we got another voter. Another voter. Get the right answer. So it's exactly split. Half of the people are saying C and half of the people are saying B. So let's count them. How many sig figs in this guy?
One.
One. Right. Those leading zeros don't count as significant digits. So I think that's going to be the difference. Here?
One.
One. Here?
Two.
Here?
Three.
So that's the first one. Here?
Five. Three.
Three. So B. Okay, so a boy throws a steel ball straight up, and of course it comes down. Which of these curves describes the velocity versus time of the resulting motion? Steel ball thrown straight up, comes straight down. Which of these curves describes the velocity versus time? So these are graphs, velocity on the y-axis and time on the x-axis. I'm not telling. So far there's no consensus.
Yeah.
There's disagreement, people at the top. It's the fight of men versus women, I guess.
Oh
sorry. We should have put him up there. Then we would have single sex groups. You gonna vote? Okay, so we have disagreement. The majority says C. So A is there to fool you. Right? You know it gets slower as it goes up and then it speeds up again, but this is velocity, not speed, right? So when it comes down, those are negative values. When it's going up, those are positive values. So no one voted for D. So it's kind of between B and C. And what we have for free fall motion is a constant acceleration. And acceleration is the slope of velocity versus time. So we need a straight line that has a constant slope like C. Okay, so we can have lots of these sorts of questions. Lots of questions I can ask from these. So this particularly beautiful fresh slide shows the velocity versus time. And the question I'm going to ask this time is, where is the position the furthest? When did the maximum position occur? So when is the position a maximum? We got some positive velocities. When is the position a maximum? The majority is voting for C, but the majority is often wrong. But not in this case. So a couple of ways to think about it. As long as the velocity is positive, we're moving forward, right? So it's going further and further and further and further and further. But here's where it's starting to back up. So when it goes from moving forward to backwards, that's when we're going to reach the maximum position.
So for that type of position, you look at the x-axis? Or how do you know that? Determine slope?
So this doesn't have anything to do with slope. The other way of arguing this is it has to do with area. So the area under the velocity versus time curve is the position. So as we go for more and more time, we've got more and more area until we start hitting these negative areas. Then we're going backwards. So the slope of velocity versus time is acceleration, and the area under velocity versus time is position. But I think probably the easiest way to think about it is we're moving forward until C. C is where we temporarily stop and then move backwards. Okay, so here's a graph of acceleration versus time. Where is the velocity a maximum? Yeah, so this is a graph of acceleration versus time. Where is the velocity a maximum? I'm not laughing at you. I'm about to say, just like I did before, the audience is voting for C, but sometimes the audience is wrong.
I'm not changing my answer. Unless you guys want to.
But not this time. It's exactly the same story. Because the area under acceleration versus time is the velocity.
When does slope come into play then?
So if you remember the stack, remember we had a stack of x versus time and velocity versus time and acceleration versus time. Anytime we're going down the stack, we're talking slope. And anytime we're going up, we're talking area under.
What do you mean by going up?
In the stack. So if you have position versus time and you want velocity, then you're talking slope. If you have velocity and you want acceleration, then you're talking slope. Here we have acceleration and we're trying to get velocity. Now we use area under. Oh, so the other way of thinking about that is the same thing as with velocity. As long as the acceleration is positive, we're going faster and faster and faster. So it's only when the acceleration goes negative that we're actually slowing down. So here's a graph of position versus time. Where is the velocity a maximum? So where is the velocity a maximum? This is a graph of position versus time. Where is the velocity a maximum? Well, the majority is voting C, and now we have another C. Yep. So now we're talking slope, right? Because to go from position to velocity, it's going down that stack. So here the velocity is zero because the slope is zero. We have a negative velocity. We're going pretty fast backwards, but that's negative. Now we have zero velocity, and then we start having positive velocity. It's about as positive as it's going to get there because it's going to stop again up at the top. Okay, so here we got the Navy ship is shooting at ship one and ship two, and it fires simultaneously with different guns, so I'm not saying the muzzle velocity is the same, and we have the trajectories that the bullet fires. And the question is, which ship gets hit first?
Because
So the majority of the class is for D, and we have one non-voting group. So at this point, the other class decided they were going to guess C all the time on the exam. So if I drop these two pencils, which one's going to hit the ground first? This one, right? And remember that we can treat the horizontal and vertical directions totally separate. So starting from the top, which one is going to hit the ground first? This one's going to hit the ground first. And remember, it's symmetric. However long it takes to go up, it takes to go down. So it's C.
Wait, can you explain that again?
So remember that we can kind of ignore, if we want, the horizontal direction. So if I have two balls and I throw them up at the same time, but one goes higher than the first, than this one, which one's going to come back down first? The one that didn't go up as high, right? So don't be confused about the horizontal stuff. Just look at the vertical stuff. Okay, so I'm swinging this ball around in a circle, going around like this, and the tether breaks. Which of these lines shows the trajectory of the ball once the tether breaks?
Which way?
It's going around like this, like I showed you, right? Going around like that. Which way is it going to go? Which of those lines describes the trajectory that the ball is going to have when the string breaks? Say again? Is that a what?
A footprint.
Oh, it looks like it, doesn't it?
So it looks like someone walked over that. What happened to these slides?
Yeah, so the story is one of the sinks leaked. So all of these have been underwater. How they got stepped on at some point, I don't know. But you can see a lot of water, most of it is water marks. Well, is that a B? Is that a choice?
Yes.
I'm looking at the middle group. B? I'm happy, yep. So this is just projectile motion, right? At this instant, the ball is shot at this direction, and it's going to follow a normal projectile motion trajectory. The string becomes irrelevant once it's broken. Okay, so here I have four, so the P vectors and the Q vectors are exactly the same length, they just have different orientations. What orientation is going to produce the biggest possible P plus Q vector? So P's and Q's are all the same, just have different orientations. Which orientation produces the biggest value of P plus Q?
What's the
Yeah, P's and Q's all have the same size. It's just orientation that's different.
So like,
what was the question?
So which way is P plus Q as big as possible? Which one of these would make the biggest P plus Q vector?
There's four questions.
Yeah, so I could ask other questions in the future. Currently, I'm asking about P plus Q. Yeah. So the currently active question is just the top one. So the majority is for A, and we've got one non-voter.
Is it 3 and 4 the same question?
So we're not talking about cross products and dot products in this class, but no, they're different.
Oh, I thought it was multiplication sign.
Yeah. So remember, to add vectors, we put them tip to tail. So if we put this Q guy out here, we'll get the biggest possible vector. So A, yep. Yeah, I guess that's as good as any of them. So a vector lies in the xy plane. What orientation would produce negative components?
Could there be more than one answer?
You only have four cards. Better be one of those cards. Yep, I think everyone's for B. Yep, so if we have our normal coordinate system, to have negative components, we need to be in that, which is sometimes called the third quadrant, so we need to be more than 180, less than 270 degrees. Okay, so here we have a stack of books, X, Y, and Z. The net force on book Y is what? We're looking for the net force on book Y. Well, I can tell the majority is for C. And the group is right? So what's the acceleration of book Y? Zero, right? And you always know that the net force is equal to the mass times the acceleration. So the net force on Y is going to be zero. If we add up all the forces on Y, we better get zero. The force of book Z on book Y is?
I don't know.
So the guy's vote is for, they're still thinking. I can tell you that the majority is for B, for whatever that's worth. Sometimes they're right. They are right. Yeah, they're right today. So the contact force between Z and Y has to support all of the mass that's above it, right? So if an elephant steps on something, that the normal force on the thing below it has to be increasing. So the force of book Y on the table is? I fooled lots of people on the last class on this, but not any of you guys, right? There's no contact between Y and the table. And basically all our forces except gravity are contact forces. So a guy's trying to move this crate. So he tries to push it to the right. He tries to lift it a little bit and finally just sits down on it. So under these situations, rank the frictional force that's exerted by the surface on the crate from greatest to least. Yeah, so we're trying to rank the frictional force. Total disagreement. So what's the frictional force in case three? Zero, right? If there were a frictional force, the thing would have to be accelerating because it would be the only force in the horizontal direction. So the frictional force is going to fight whatever horizontal force is present because the problem says the acceleration is zero. So the biggest component of the horizontal force occurs in case one. So one is the biggest, three is the least, so we're in B. So rank the normal force from greatest to least, from least to greatest.
Least degrees?
Yes. Ah, so everyone went for C, which is correct. So here it's going to be the biggest because it has to support all of this weight. Here it's going to be just equal to the weight, and here we're partially lifting it, so it's going to be a little bit less than the weight. So Rupert pulls a box across a horizontal surface at constant velocity, and we've got these forces, tension, normal force, weight, frictional force. Which of the following relationships among the force magnitudes must be true? We don't need Rupert's head, I guess. So the majority says C. What are you going to say?
Yeah.
Everyone's wrong.
It's
A. So constant velocity tells you there's no net force, right? So all of the forces have to cancel. W has to equal N and F has to equal T. Well, there are more of these, but so we got kind of 15 minutes. So the fact that the velocity is constant says that there's no acceleration. So even though it's moving, the net force has to be zero. Remember, Newton says constant velocity means no net force. So if there's no net force, everything has to cancel out. The horizontal force has to add up to zero, and the vertical force has to add up to zero. Now, to go from zero speed to some speed, that takes an acceleration, and that means there had to be some force present to get it going up to that speed. But once you're at a constant speed, the net force is zero. Okay, so you've been keeping track of your scores. So you've got a bunch of ones and zeros on your piece of paper. So now, do you get any points for all of this? So what you have is a problem-type problem in front of you. And the plan is, I think all of you have different problems, but the other class was doing some of the same problems. So what I will do is I will pick out the best answer from among those groups and give bonus points to that group. So I think there are five questions, so there are five groups from both classes who will end up with bonus points. Yeah, that's the problem. So I'll also put the best answers online so that you can be a study aid.